We are off the recording now, Mr. Chairman. 1:06, you can get started.
All right, thank you, Chuck. I will go ahead and call this session of the ITAC meeting to order. We will go ahead and start with a roll call, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Nguyen. Shaggy Dasan Krishnamurthy.
Yep.
Doug Lang for Brian Kirkland.
Here.
Eddie Cook. Mr. Cook. I show you on the meeting, sir, but I think you're muted. Mr. Chairman, I'll keep going and come back to Mr. Cook. John Roan for Lev Gonick. David Byer. J.R. Sloan. Here. Rebecca Pereira for Richard Thovnick.
Here.
Ryan Murray.
I am here.
We're going back to Mr. Cook. Okay, Mr. Chairman, if we can't confirm Mr. Cook, then we do not have
a understood. I want to go ahead and offer for, just in case any of our members have joined by phone, you need to hit *6 to unmute yourself.
All right, Mr. Chairman, I think we're going to have to pause and redo roll call once we get confirmation of Mr. Cook, Mr. Rowe. Go ahead and keep the streaming and the recording going.
Okay, I saw an email come through from John Rome. I've sent him the link. I think he will be joining me shortly.
Hi, this is Eddie. Sorry, I'm just in a bad internet spot.
Ah, thanks, Eddie.
All right, Mr. Cook is present. All right, Mr. Chairman, that makes your quorum. You can start. I can add Mr. Rome in on the notes at what time he joins. Well,
okay. Well, I do need him here because I'm going to be asking our conflict of interest question. So,
okay, we can wait.
We'll give him another moment to join, and then we'll get started.
I believe Mr. Rome just came in, Chuck.
John Rome, are you present for Lev Gonick?
Yes, I am. Sorry I'm late.
Everyone. Thank you so much, John.
Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
All right, fantastic. Well, again, welcome everybody. Thank you for the time and attendance today. We've got a full agenda. I will remind folks that this is a public meeting and we do comply with public meeting law and we do accept comments during the course of the meeting. There's a link in the agenda. If you want to submit a comment through that form, the team will review and disposition it. To the members, I want to go ahead and remind you that you may have received a conflict of interest form, an opportunity for you to register if you felt you have a conflict of interest with any of the items that will be discussed in our agenda today. I'll ask staff, did we receive any conflict of interest forms?
We have not.
Okay. So to the members, if you did not have time to review that, as we get to the topic and discussion, please raise your hand and identify if you feel you do have a conflict of interest so we can properly handle that in the course of the meeting. With that, I will go ahead and move into our first item of business, which is the approval of the May 17th recording as the minutes for our last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the recording as the minutes of our last meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
This is Jiggy. I'll second.
Thank you, Jiggy. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. All right, we'll move into our main agenda. First item up for review and vote will be the Department of Economic Security with the child care attendance tracking solution. Oh, I'm sorry, that's not voting. We're talking about the consent agenda. This is my mistake, folks. We have two items that are there, which is the DERS child care attendance tracking solution and the DTS data center disaster recovery. Information on both of these items were sent and included in the packet. As consent agenda, these items would receive one motion and one vote unless there is a desire by the committee to dive into either of these.
Chairman, I move the approval of the consent calendar.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
This is Ryan. I'll second.
Thank you, Ryan. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, thank you. Now we will move into individual items for review and vote. First up is the Department of Revenue with the STARS discovery phase.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Revenue, who will introduce themselves shortly, followed by a brief overview of their project. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, the Arizona Department of Revenue is requesting approval for their STARS Discovery Phase project. The state, counties, municipalities, and its stakeholders will benefit greatly by having a single integrated tax system of record, ITS. The ITS proposed solution will be hosted on a cloud platform and will contain all tax administration business functions for all types or all tax types. It will consolidate multiple existing tax systems into a single comprehensive solution to better serve stakeholders, as well as improve customer experience and shrink the tax gap. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Chairman, before the project team goes, you have both a confidential and a public presentation on this one. Before we just jump in one or the other, is there a preference if you want to go into confidential discussion where the committee will be able to ask questions of the team particular to the actual solution, or would you like to see the public presentation first?
So committee members, I will leave this one in your hands. There is content that can be publicly reviewed together. The team will step in if you ask a question that will cross the confidentiality boundary, and we may choose to hold those for an executive session if appropriate. You have the option before you to proceed with the publicly consumable content, and then if you wish to have further discussions on any points, we do have the option to then proceed into an executive session. What's your preference?
Mr. Chairman, this is Dave. I defer to your judgment because you've looked at this more thoroughly.
Thank you, David. I'm going to recommend that we go ahead and proceed through the public content. I'm sure that we'll spur some questions for you all. But we can at least cover that. Then when we go to executive session, we will not then have to drive back through the public content again. We will have covered that already, and we can then proceed to a vote based on the discussions in our executive session, if one is required. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back to the team to proceed.
Okay. Department of Revenue, you are up.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman and the members of the committee. My name is Neeraj Deshpande, and I'm the Deputy Director of the Department of Revenue. I would like to introduce you to our key staff members who are here as subject matter experts in their fields to help answer any questions you may have. We have Michael Hillebrand, who's our State Procurement Manager, who has been handling this procurement. We have Thomas Reichhaus, who was Interim Chief Information Officer. We have Laura Lee Hudgens, who's a senior project manager on the STARS project. We have Zach Sharp, deputy assistant director, and who will be doing the rest of the presentation. We have Elaine Smith, deputy assistant director with Department of Revenue. And then we have Stacey Wallace, who's the chief information security officer for the DOR. Zach, would you please take over the rest of the presentation? Thank you.
Will do. Sounds good. Just a quick mic check. Are we good? Awesome.
Yes.
Great. All right. Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Zach Sharp. I'm currently a Deputy Assistant Director and Business Requirement Lead for the Department of Revenue STARS projects. Before we jump into the details, my colleagues and I would like to express our appreciation to all of you for taking the time to review this project with us. The overall scope of the STARS project is to replace the department's system of record, the taxpayer accounting system, which we call CAS, with a single integrated tax system that will house all business functions for all departments' tax types. Also included in this effort will be the full replacement of the department's current external facing portal, AZ Taxes, as well as the various reporting and shadow systems that are currently utilized for operation. CAS was originally procured in the early 2000s by the state, and the implementation lasted through 2009. At the close of the implementation, CAS has continued to be improved to its current state today. Over the years, the department has had to create additional shadow systems to cover for the limitations of CAS. In most cases, these feeder systems do not directly integrate with CAS. In addition, CAS does not have a robust case selection and management system to support department activities. This lack of tools sets the department back amongst its peers when it comes to selecting accounts for potential taxpayer education programs. The department also has numerous open auditor general findings that the current system could not address, including the need for additional reporting analytics to discover misreported PPT at the time of filing, end-to-end address standardization, and analytics to support taxpayer education programs. In addition, in a subsequent sunset audit, the department accepted a finding that required it to begin system replacement planning. Lastly, the department's current external facing portal does not include all tax types, and it does not offer services that we all expect today. To remedy these issues, the department requested and received an FY23 appropriation to begin the process for a full TAS replacement. Replacing these systems with a modern integrated tax system will improve overall tax administration, provide expanded electronic services, and will bring in analytics that will help drive the reduction of the Arizona tax gap. Next slide, please. Here's some high-level metrics representing department operations. In FY22, the department collected $27.8 billion in taxes and fees and distributed it to state agencies, cities, towns, and counties. This also includes $1.9 billion in refunds that were paid to taxpayers. Next slide, please. Over the same period, the department processed 6.6 million tax returns. And we also have a visual here showing revenue distributed by system. As you can see, the majority of the revenue collected and distributed was through TAS. Next slide, please. So now that we gave you some background, we're going to move over to our preparation efforts. In early 2020, the department conducted a feasibility study with a third-party firm. During the study, the department met with and interviewed 10 other states of similar size to discover key lessons learned from their own replacement projects. A few lessons learned from these interviews include having a dedicated staff of our best and brightest assigned to the project, to start as early as possible on data preparation, to have a robust change management program, and to have an active executive sponsor, just to name a few. We have also collaborated with key external stakeholders during the preparation effort. We received current system pain point feedback from the cities, counties, AFIPs, ATRA, and third-party software vendors, whom of which we interact with regularly. We've also actively included the cities and towns all throughout the preparation process, including having them directly participate in the feasibility study as stakeholders, assisting in the building of the business requirements for the RFP, and they also assisted with the solicitation. The department started data preparation efforts early on in the preparation process, going back to 2019. Through this effort, the department established the Tax Data Management District in order to centralize and execute data cleansing activities. We also participated in a data management maturity assessment with DOA, and we've been applying these lessons learned in our preparation efforts by building data extracts to be used for migration purposes, along with a data dictionary to be shared with the ITS vendor. Next slide, please. Next up, we have some background. On top of the standard procurement code, there were two additional statutory requirements that we needed to follow during the procurement process. They're listed here up on the slide. The first requirement outlined that the state was not allowed to use mandatory minimums in the solicitation. And the second requirement is centered around minimum data fields that were required for querying, reporting, and text modeling functionality. And it required JLPC and OSPB to have direct access to these tools. Next slide, please. And then here are the overall budget information that was submitted to JLBC to where we received a favorable review. The total budget amount that we requested was $14.9 million to be used to begin this project. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to you.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Committee members, there are questions that you can ask on the material that Zach has just covered. If we want to get into levels of detail, anything certainly discussing the proposed solution, specifics around that, will likely need to move to executive session. So if there are questions about any of the general content that has been covered up to this point, let's go ahead and cover those here. Otherwise, if your desire is to move to an executive session, I will take a motion regarding that.
Chair, motion to move to executive session.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lang. Do we have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right, folks. Committee members, you received a second link for the executive session. Please exit this meeting, join that meeting, and once we've assembled over there, we will continue on with our in-depth questioning, and then we will return back to this session once we've completed that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and just for the record, that motion was based on review of confidential information.
Yes.
As the purpose.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for being patient and standing by. The committee is going to leave now, along with some of the staff, but there will be staff members on the call while executive session takes place. Mr. Rome, thanks for joining this one. If you could go back to the executive session meeting, we'll pick up business there.
Chuck, do you want them to pause the recording while you're off the line?
Actually, no. Let's keep it going so we can demonstrate.
Alrighty, thank you.
We're doing business. Mr. Rome, you can go ahead and exit out of this meeting. All right, Mr. Chairman, it is 2:11 and the committee is fully returned back to the regular session if you want to restart regular session.
Okay, committee, having concluded our discussions in the executive session, I will take a motion with regards to reconvening our general session.
You don't need a motion to go back into it.
I'm sorry, I thought I did. Okay, well, let's get to it then, folks. Having reviewed the meeting in our executive session, as well as the content previously covered in our general session, and the conditions here presented for your review, I will take a motion with regard to this project.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the project as presented with the conditions that have been presented.
Thank you, Mr. Byers. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Lang. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. Thank you, committee members. Thank you, revenue team. You have been approved to move forward with this initial phase of your project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, and we are on to the next voting item in our agenda, which will be access, bringing forward the Medicaid Enterprise System. DOA staff, you ready to go?
Ms. Whiteford, you're muted right now if you're trying to speak.
Yes, I apologize. My laptop just froze up on me, so I had to restart. So if you'll give me one moment to pull up my information. Okay, thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Karen Whiteford. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona Healthcare Cost Containment System, also known as ACCESS, who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. ACCESS is seeking approval to design, develop, and implement the Medicaid Enterprise Systems, or MES, Systems Integration Platform. ACCESS currently utilizes the Medicaid Management Information System, MMIS, data warehouse, and other modular systems which consist of redundant point-to-point system integrations. The system's limitations directly impact the agency's ability to view trends and allow for more detailed performance analysis of systems. The system integration platform enables the agency's vision for data quality and master data management and establishes centralized operational capabilities and performance analysis. The solution will support the overall ACCESS Medicaid plan by providing an enhanced capabilities to view trends and allow for more detailed performance analysis of systems. The overall goal of this project is to implement a common backbone that results in a seamless framework with standardized methods and protocols for communication. This allows Medicaid programs to replace discrete system modules and functionality over time without causing disruptions or significant changes in the rest of the enterprise. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, my name is Dan Lippert. I am the Assistant Director and Chief Information Officer for the Information Services Division at Access, the state Medicaid program. Also presenting today will be Anthony Flock, the Chief Technology Officer for Access, and Joshua Worley, the Senior Finance Administrator, as part of the Division of Business and Finance within Access. Next slide, please. So I'd like to start with the problem statement. Right now, the majority of the Access Medicaid system is run on a monolithic system. It's a mainframe system that was implemented in the 90s and has essentially been in use since then. So we're looking at over 30-year-old technology. That technology does not allow the integration of other systems to it readily. It is also not fluid. It's not as fast to change, to adapt to new things as a more modern system. So the issue is that we need to update and modernize the MES system, or as it's also known in MMIS, Medicaid Management Information System. In order to do that, we need to create a backbone where all of the different pieces of a MES system can attach and communicate to each other. We don't have that now because, again, it's a monolithic system. We're starting to attach new pieces to it, but we really need a organized, standardized way to do that. So we need to implement a system integrator that will be that backbone that will allow the communication between these systems. In the past, you would buy a complete MMIS system and it would be $200 or $300 million, and you wouldn't see any benefit to that system until the whole thing was integrated or implemented. What we're doing now is different. We're buying pieces of the Medicaid enterprise. So we can choose best of breed. We don't have to stick with one vendor. We don't have to stick with one type of technology. We can choose what's best in the marketplace for that type of transaction, attach it to this backbone, and things will talk to each other. So for example, there's about 35 different modules within an MMIS. We don't use that many, but there's the potential of that. There's prepayment for claims, there's post-payment for claims, there's fraud, waste, and abuse modules. We currently have a separate provider module that we're linking. Case management is going to be in there, and those sorts of things. So imagine you've got all of these systems. You need them to act as one. That's what our system integrator is going to help us do. That's the technology we're looking for with this proposal. Let me take a look at my notes here, make sure I covered everything. One of the big outcomes we need from this is we have data in many, many different places, or will, because of this modernization. One of the things the system integrator will do is help us with an operational data store that will normalize the data so that we can have a good view of all of the data in one place from all of these multiple systems. That also allows us to meet our federal reporting requirements more quickly and easily. We have to submit all of our data through the Transform Medicaid Statistical Information System, TMSIS, and it comes from multiple locations. This will speed that up. The other thing that CMS has started to do, they want to go back through all the states that have old systems and make sure those states still comply with the newer standards. So we are kind of being forced to head down this modernization path. We need to, it's a good idea, but there's also a tie to CMS with that. So with that, I will turn it over to Anthony Plott to provide more information.
Thank you, Dan, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'd like to start, go over how we got here with our procurement methodology. I'm not going to bore you by reading every bullet point on here, but I want to point out a couple of the key ones that we went through as we started down this path. One of the big ones was the Medicaid Enterprise System. I'll refer to it as MES here on out. Modernization strategy. That strategy, in conjunction with NTT, took a look at our current systems, our current processes, and we developed a roadmap on how to split that current monolithic system up, modernize it, and do it in the most efficient way with the least impact business. Again, that's bullet number two on there, number two and three, if I will, if I may. The next thing is we developed a requirements for the SI. So we went through the modernization strategy. We identified what should be happening first. SI was one of the first things identified. And we said, okay, well, we need to put together requirements and how do we get started on that? And so that's what we went through with NTT as well. And they helped us put out our RFQ, which we put out on NASPO. From there, we received the bids. We went through the competitive review, and we've selected a vendor, which is why we're here today. One thing to note is that CMS has approved both the vendor and the contract, and that includes a 90% match. That was fully approved on May 9th. Next slide, please. So again, back to the purpose, right? So phase one of a long-term strategy for MES modernization is that backbone that Dan described. It's really about taking the aggregate of all your modules, all your systems, and making sure you have that data in one central location. We plan on doing that from both a structured and unstructured standpoint. You'll notice the ODS and EDMS component to this. And one of the other items is it'll give us real-time submission, reporting, and exchanges, which is something that we just don't have today. I'm well aware there are some mainframe systems that can do APIs, real-time transactions. The code set and database version that we are on does not allow for that, so it's something that's been sorely lacking. Next slide, please. This is kind of the MES timeline in general. You'll notice SI is kind of down about four or five entry points on here, but we have several other modules listed out as well. If you look at the proposed timeline, it's going out through 2028. Again, we wanted to put this on here to illustrate that we need to get started. We need to get this done because there's several other modules that are contingent on us making sure this gets implemented and implemented well. Not all of these modules have been approved yet. Not all of them have funding, but this is our plan if everything goes as we expect. Next slide, please. This is what we, again, view our system to look like at the end of the day. So I'll kind of, direct your eyes to the middle there, the big access system integration platform and services. Enterprise Service Bus is just a tagline here. You might also refer to it as an interoperability, however you want to refer to that. We just wanted to illustrate the point that all of the systems that you see on the outside go into and out of the Access SI. That will happen a myriad of ways, right? API, MFT, MFT for those of you, file exchange, right? API, everybody's aware of that. So we'll have real time, we'll have batch processing, we'll have unstructured structured data, et cetera. One other call out is you'll see down in the lower right, we have MQD. So that's MedQuest. That is Hawaii's access agency. We, for those of you who are unaware, we maintain their Medicaid system on our mainframe today, and they are also going along with us on this journey, the MES modernization journey. As far as the SI is concerned, Hawaii actually already has an SI, and we are going to link into that for them, right? So we're going to use our SI to interface with their SI. So you can think how this would work is in terms of data warehouse reporting, those kind of efforts. We need to make sure that any of the data in the mainframe that they need transformed will go through our SI and then feed to them accordingly. Again, Dan had mentioned many of the systems earlier that we will be doing. A lot of those are already outlined here, and so I won't get into too much detail on the other various systems. Next slide, please. So the proposed solution is to go in our Azure network infrastructure. So one thing to note is we really wanted to own the infrastructure for this in case we needed to move vendors, transition vendors for M&O, you know, many years down the road, et cetera. So the plan is, as you can see here, these Azure networks are all within our main tenant. And so we would have various subscriptions that would segment out the work and efforts being done under this. You'll see that the SI platform is its own subscription for which the vendor will have complete control of. This system will tie into our production system, which you see on the right, to ensure we have continuity between all of the platforms there. Again, you can also see coming through the hub and down to the state WAN. That's how we'll get back to the mainframe, which is still the core of our systems. Next slide, please. As far as project responsibilities, we put this slide together to try to outline how we see this working. So I'll start on the left side. Access will be there for obviously contract oversight, supplying the original subscription for Azure, right? Being a SME, reviewing deliverables, providing the extract data for the ODS, also for the EDMS, doing the UAT, the technical training. I'll kind of hop over to the right side. On the vendor side, the vendor will be responsible for the project management, the system design documents, configuring and implementing this subscription in our tenancy, completing application testing, prepare and deliver training, and also providing the ongoing maintenance and operations. In the middle is where we kind of come together in that partnership, where we both would be in on meetings, work together on the project management. We would both review test planning and execution, training planning and delivery, and of course the important OCM, organizational change management. This particular system won't be as customer facing, but we do have 100,000 providers, give or take, that interface with our system today via FTP processes, and they would be the ones that would be the biggest impact, if you will, on when we move them from our current FTP process to the new MFT or managed file transfer process that would be in this SI. The hope would be to eventually not only just move them to another file transfer, but also maybe to an API or a real-time process, which many of our larger providers and health plans have available. Next slide, please. This would be the specific project timeline for the SI. So before you saw the overall timeline for the MES modernization effort, as we dig down into just the SI, this is what we'd be looking at. So in those first 12 months, we'd look to have most of DD&I done. We'd have the SI up and running. We'd have ODS up and running. And we'd have our EDMS up and running and populated. So that would be the hope. Dan had mentioned earlier TMSIS, which is our, you might put me on the spot and ask me what that stands for, but it's our federal reporting. I don't remember the exact terminology for the acronym, but it's mandated CMS reporting that we need to do. we would hope to move that to the SI also. It would not happen in 12 months because we have to certify that before we can officially do that, but we would hope to be able to be doing them concurrently. So we'll have the new TM, you know, our current TMSIS reporting, and we'd also be starting a feed for our new TMSIS reporting off of our SI platform. Next slide, please. Again, broken out a little differently. These are some more detailed milestone and task start dates and finish dates. As you can see, the hope for DDI, or I should say the plan for DDI, is to be done essentially September 30th of 24, at which point that would start maintenance and operations. Next slide, please. This is how we anticipate the structure for the SI platform, especially during DDI. You can see we've listed our oversight, our governance bodies, and then the executive steering committee, which would be mostly access and MQD, so Arizona and Hawaii staff. As the lighter colors of blue come down, that's more of the people doing the work, right? So we have the program managers, we have the SMEs, the systems managers, the architects, and the development team. Next slide, please. This is where I'm going to throw it over to Joshua so he can go over the cost. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, in the first year of the project during the development phase, Arizona will have a 90% federal match. And the state match will come as a 50-50 split between Arizona and Hawaii, so about $569,000 for each state. Once we move into the maintenance and operations phase, the federal match will be at 75%, with the split between Arizona and Hawaii being shared at 84% for Arizona and 16% for Hawaii. Next slide. This shows the total costs over the five-year period, the same numbers from the previous slide. Hawaii will be accounting for approximately 4% of the total five-year cost, with Arizona at 17% and the federal government at 79% of the five-year cost. Next slide. I'm going to pass it back to Dan.
All right, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. One of the things I would like to go back a little bit on is I mentioned that this is not a monolithic system, that you don't see benefit until you get to the end. Every one of these steps gives us incremental value and incremental benefit. It's not as if we get, as you looked at the project plan, it's not like we get halfway through and realize something's not working and we've got to go back to the beginning. Every time we add something, that is a benefit to us and it's something that can used. That's how we have designed it. So every time we add a new module, for example, that module can be reused regardless of funding streams and things like that going forward. So the proposed solution success criteria, the biggest, of course, is to set up that infrastructure so that we can, as I said, integrate all of those other modules that are part of an MES system. But to start with, we're going to be doing that operational data store that will give us a single point where we can view all of our data. We're going to make sure that we can still be compliant with our transformed Medicaid Statistical Information System, TMSIS. It was just a couple of slides down, Anthony. And then lastly, the Enterprise Document Management System, or EDMS, that would be available then to all of the different modules as opposed to having to do batch feeds and all those sorts of things in order to make use of that data. So that would be our proposed solution success. I believe that is the end of our formal presentation, and we're welcome any questions.
Okay, thank you, Dan and Anthony and Joshua. Committee, I will open it up for questions. One that I've got in my head that I'd like to throw out is, I'll say, the maintenance and operations, I see that there, you know, the plan is to engage a vendor to do the development, and they're going to maintain and operate this component for you for some duration. Is all that wrapped into the proposed, I guess, award that you have in front of you here?
Yes, it is. And okay. Joshua, please correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Good. So that leads me into the question of, as you have you included in, I guess, in the contract, the transition out work, right? So if at some point in the maintenance and operations, either you get to the end of the contract and it's time to resolicit, renew to continue, you know, ongoing operations, or you hit an inflection point in your relationship and it's time to consider something different, how have you contemplated that in the contract? And then I want to also hear you talk about the documentation component, because that's vital in any transition that you have to do.
Yeah, I'll start with some of the contractual items, and Anthony, I'm going to turn it to you for documentation in those pieces, because that, like you said, JR, or Mr. Chairman, is critical. So contractually, yes, that is considered as far as separation. One of the things we wanted to make sure of is that this is the backbone of everything we're doing. We want to make sure that we own that technology and we own the intellectual property to the greatest degree possible. So, for example, we may be buying different types of software to help the SI, but those will be owned by the state, and the intellectual property that goes into developing them will also be the state's property. So when we do go to transition, it's not like the vendor leaves and takes all of their technology and tools with them. Anthony, and is that
okay? And I'm going to add on to that. When I talk about transition out in the contract, is there a specified time period for knowledge transfer and that type of activity?
Yeah, Anthony, I'll let you take that one.
There is. We did put a transition plan in the RTMs. And so we do have that outlined, as well as many of our deliverables are around the documentation of what is being done as it's happening, right? So in the first 60 days, we want to know exactly what their outline is on what they're going to be working on. And then for each one of their deliverable items, like let's say they're going to stand up our ODS instance, we want a fully documented deliverable that comes with the stand-up of that ODS on what they did, why they did, and why they did it. All of that will be stored with access. So originally we planned to put that in our SharePoint. Soon, though, we'll be coming back to you for a ServiceNow implementation, and that is where we plan on all of that living for all of our modules going forward.
All right, thanks. Committee members, any questions from you? Okay. Well, there we go. Ryan.
Sorry, just one real quick. I didn't see it as part of this project, but is the ultimate goal to be essentially moving off of the mainframe to the new Medicaid system once everything is kind of built and put together around it? Or is the mainframe system going to always continue to exist?
Mr. Murray, great question. The goal is to eliminate the mainframe. We are at a point where it is getting harder and harder to find talented resources to maintain the system. We are on technologies that aren't taught in school and haven't been taught in school since I went there. It was a long time ago. So, that is definitely our goal. And this will give us this is the first step to get there.
You got another one, Ryan?
I do. Thank you, Mr. Lippert. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just other question, since you are working closely with the state of Hawaii on this, was there any discussion about standardizing on your BI platform? Or is it, I know you said you're going to have them integrate, but was there any discussion of having them be standardized, since it sounds like they're not going to be the same type of platform?
Yes, there was. What we had determined was that the SI that the state of Hawaii is using is used for the entire state government process. And for a state the size of Hawaii, it would be just quite an interruption to try to, for them then to either to modify what they've done by either taking us on or coming on to something we've done.
Understood. Thank you, sir.
If I may, Mr. Murray, that's also one of the nice things about the SI is that we'll be able to have the interoperability to do things like plug into their SI if they choose, or if they want to come on board, they will be able to. So again, it gives us options as well.
Perfect. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Or I will take a motion. No, actually, I won't take a motion yet. We got to go to our conditions, and I will turn it back to Karen to walk us through those.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that the pitch be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right. I think these are our standards. Chuck.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just to call out condition 3, because of the unique funding of this project, IVMV is required. Access is ready to execute that, but this is a federal funded project. There's federal requirements that will be handled. So this condition requests that this be stood up and provided back to ITAC within 90 days. So we are working closely with Mr. Lippert and team to make sure this gets handled, but there are federal implications on this. So I just want to call that out, why it's a little unique for a $5 million plus dollar project.
Yeah, and the key item here is that because it does, the federal requirements in this case are in conflict with our standard state requirements. So we are deferring to the feds in this case. All right, if there are any questions on the conditions, I will take a motion with regard to the project.
This is Ryan. I motion that we move forward with the conditions as presented.
Thank you, Ryan. Do we have a second?
This is Jeggy. I second this.
Thank you, Jeggy. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. That's a unanimous vote. Thank you, Dan and Anthony. And Joshua, appreciate your presentation. Good luck in getting this initial phase underway. And I appreciate the modular approach that you are taking to pick apart a monolith one piece at a time. Go eat the elephant.
That's right. Thank you very much.
All right. Last voting item comes to us from the Department of Environmental Quality.
Good afternoon, again, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Karen Whiteford. I'm an engagement manager with the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality who will introduce themselves after a brief overview of the project. The Arizona Department of Environmental Quality will be developing new enhancements to the MyDEQ underground storage tank application to improve customer reporting capabilities and maintain compliance with EPA regulations. The underground storage tank application provides 4 different services that allows customers to transact with the agency to comply with their environmental requirements. The initial application was limited in scope. The program has identified new or enhanced requirements that would reduce the delay in reviewing the notifications and other reports submitted to the agency. Allowing staff to enter data on orphan tanks allows staff to manage cleanups faster. In addition, compliance with EPA updates to regulations will ensure compliance with the agency's delegation agreement with the EPA. At this time, I'll turn it over to the project team to present additional information regarding the proposed project and answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Karen. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Steve O'Neill, the Chief Information Officer for the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality. Along with me, I have Khursheed Malik, who is our Deputy CIO. Glenn Holroyd, who is our applications development manager, is not able to make this meeting, unfortunately. But we do have Latha Tupal here as our senior business analyst. So basically, for those of you unfamiliar with MightyEQ, MightyEQ is essentially our online permitting and licensing portal for our agency. And it was implemented in 2015. Development started, and we are just continuing on in our life cycle, the software development life cycle for MightyEQ. And in our continuous improvement process, we've identified several things that we would like to enhance and improve upon with regards to the UST underground storage tank applications within MightyEQ. Based on customer feedback and experience, as well as staff feedback, we essentially want to improve the application with regards to reporting and ease of use, and trimming some time off of different processes. So that what that will do essentially is it'll reduce time required to return facilities into compliance. It will increase efficiency and data accuracy for MightyEQ or for ADEQ staff and the regulated community, as well as providing more customer satisfaction and simplicity to comply with state and federal environmental statute. Next slide, please. So the current state is ADEQ offers about 177 products and services. 147 of those products and services have been identified for automation. each year, these services have been delivered incrementally, again, since 2015, as prioritized by our customers, internal customer business units, as well as the public, our public customers. Again, since 2015, 98 of these services have been implemented successfully. So we're basically about 55% through the development life cycle of MightyEQ. We've got 98 services out there with 147 total to go. Next slide, please. So again, the current usage is we have 25,000 users that use our online portal to transact with our agency. We have 30,000 facilities that manage their permits to comply with state and federal regulations through the portal. The average permitting decision time across the agency has dropped from 121 days to 8 days utilizing this in-house developed portal that we have called MightyEQ. For the 98 services delivered, the annual economic benefit to the state is around $164 million. And again, I'd like to say that this portal is nationally recognized and awarded. Just last year, we won a CIO 100 award as well as a NASIO award that Khursheed actually flew to Louisville last October to accept for us. Next slide, please. So essentially, again, based on feedback and experience from our customers and our staff for FY24, we would like to propose these new improvements and features that add, again, new features, reporting capabilities. It allows staff inspectors to input accurate data found during inspections faster. We want to improve some of the development activities for staff to reduce report review times, and we want to implement new data fields to improve data quality and add new reports as well to manage confirmed releases. Next slide. So this is our tried and true method that we've been using for a while that has been working for us as far as responsibilities. For the agency, we will manage the project infrastructure and technical architecture, user acceptance testing, stakeholder communication, and end user training. Our contractors will do UI development, QA, Scrum Master activities, and the actual a lot of the actual development. On the shared perspective, we will both be doing business analysis, again, application and data architecture development. That's kind of a co-effort between our internal developers and our contractors, as well as unit integration and deployment. Next slide. So the timeline, basically the financial responsibilities improvements, release improvements, and notification improvements will be ongoing starting the beginning of the fiscal year and will be ongoing till the end of the year. Our target completion date would be obviously end of fiscal year 24. Confirmed release new features will be starting development on those at the beginning of this July, and that should go until about mid-November, at which point data migration will go from mid-November to about the end of November. And then confirmed release and other improvements will go from the beginning of December through the end of the fiscal year. Next slide. So essentially what we're looking at is basically for contract and outside services, we're looking for $1.175 million to complete these enhancements throughout the year. Next slide. So for change management, we'll just follow the standard process to do that. Communications will be the monthly reports, quarterly financial reporting, and any PIDGE adjustments will follow the standard process to do that. The way we'll measure success is we want to increase the number of UST facilities complying with financial responsibilities and reporting, timely action on releases, increase data accuracy by updating incorrect and missed data, and maintain that target of 80% of all facilities to be compliant at the time of inspection. Next slide. So again, this will be, again, the project will be a combination of in-house or FTEs as well as our contracting partners to do the development. Again, our vendors are approved and currently on state contract, and they are familiar and knowledgeable with previous MightyEQ customization projects. Some of the technology used is we have a three-tiered architecture that utilizes Angular, CSS 3.0, Java, Bootstrap, Apache application server, and our database backend is based off of Oracle. And a few years ago, the application itself and databases were migrated to AWS in 2020. Next slide, please. Testimonials. Again, you know, I'd just like to say that our current platform is an award-winning platform. We have many.
Mr. Chairman, I think
we might have lost your audio. Still don't have you back yet.
Sorry about that, guys. I'm having some technical issues.
Turn it off, turn it on.
I just kept talking and talking. So with the testimonials, I just wanted to say that, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you
can okay. Okay, thanks. The testimonials, again, this is an award-winning, nationally recognized platform, and we have many testimonials. I won't get into word for word there, but they're definitely out there. And what we would like to do this fiscal year is just continue on with the improvement process with what we already have. Next slide, please. And so basically we're requesting approval for implementing these additional features and improvements in the UST online services. Total cost is going to be $1.175 million to be completed by the end of fiscal year 24. Next slide. And with that, Mr. Chairman, we can open it up to questions.
All right. Thank you, Steve. All right, committee members, any questions with regard to the project? Mr. Murray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. O'Neay, just real quick question, since I didn't see it on here, who's going to be responsible for evaluating, identifying, and fixing security flaws as part of the new development of these features? And is there a methodology you're using for that or a certain technology you're using for that? I don't see that listed under the responsibilities for either your organization or the vendor or contractor.
Yeah, as we Mr. Murray, it could be in the PIDG for that, but we go through a security process with our internal security staff that would look at that.
So, just to be clear, your internal security team will be doing the evaluation to ensure that any new features that are added by the developer contractors are meeting your security requirements?
Correct.
Okay. And do you have any, we can take that offline. I can talk to your security team just to make sure, but just want to evaluate what that methodology looks like, how that's accomplished, and what technology you're using to do it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that with me, but we can certainly talk about that.
Sounds good. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? If there are none, I will turn it back over to Karen to walk us through our conditions.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, ASSET is recommending that the PIDG be approved with the conditions as presented.
All right. Are there any questions on the conditions? Bring them forward. Otherwise, Mr. Byers, go ahead.
Well, I've watched this project each year. It seems to get better and better. They've had great success. And so I enthusiastically move to approve the project with the conditions. Just a comment, Steve, though, I think you're selling yourself short. If I was looking at your math, I think you're more like 66% completed on the 147. You're showing 55, but I think maybe you need to update that. I think it's further along.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Byers. I probably am a little bit off on the math there.
Okay, well, we have a motion to approve, enthusiastic motion to approve, I will note. Do we have a second?
I second.
Thanks, Doug. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's a unanimous vote. Steve, again, I agree with Mr. Byers. It's been a pleasure to watch this the project and its continued success with incremental value at each stage accomplished by ADEQ and it's really a model that I do point other agencies to in terms of taking a modular approach to delivering digital services. So well done, and best wishes on continued success.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. Appreciate it.
Okay. Next, we are into our informational items. So that completes our voting segment today. First informational item is the Department of Revenue coming back and talking to us about their technology refresh.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager of the Department of Administration. I'm joined here today by members of the Department of Revenue. The team will introduce themselves, then per the condition of their FY23 technology refresh pitch, RV23007, they'll provide the committee with a high-level summary of the information obtained in their cloud strategy report from Gartner. I'll turn it over to you now, Bodhi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. We wanted to come back and as part of the conditions and address our plans. We had a very good conversation with the committee back in March with we had a PID we needed to get approved for some end of life and support equipment. That PID did get approved. We also had very good feedback from the committee around our efforts for cloud migration. We took that to heart. And we, at that time, we were also engaged with Gartner to do a cloud readiness assessment. Very robust engagement in which we analyzed 49 applications in our portfolio, subjected them to 13 different discrete criteria for modeling, for scoring, for application readiness assessment. That assessment was completed in April. I believe the full copy of that has been supplied to the department, to all the members of the committee. So we want to just kind of summarize, most importantly, what our go-forward steps are in regard to that engagement. So year one, again, this all aligns with our strategic plans and our budget planning for the following fiscal years of FY 24 and 25. Okay, year one, we have planned and budgeted to employ one FDE cloud engineer and one cloud architect contractor. We have training plans for ADR employees for cloud training, which will be a multi-year plan. As I mentioned, we did that analysis of the legacy applications. We have access to that scoring model. We'll be prioritizing and planning our cloud migrations during that year one. And as we're working together with that cloud engineer and the architect contractor, year two, FY25, we will select a managed service provider partner to help us with our cloud migration, cloud integration. We'll develop a cloud control plane, select additional cloud providers as needed, and develop the cloud migration plan year two. Year three through five, implement that cloud control plan, execute the cloud migration plan. Obviously, we're going to be aligned with the STARS project and what is being accomplished there and what we need to do to align with that project. And then as we get application moved into the cloud, we will do continuous analysis of application performance and a forecasted cost profile. And with that, we'll open up for questions.
Okay, any questions from the committee? I think that a full copy of the Gartner assessment was shared with you. So if you have any questions, this is time to bring them forward. Can we go back one slide? I did believe I have one question I was going to ask. So I think maybe you said it here, Bodhi. This July 1 start with FY24 for year one?
Yes.
And talk about the training plan. What is it you're looking to accomplish with that training plan?
So we actually work with Randy Wheaton with Department of Administration to get some recommendations on that plan and there are certification paths for this, for public cloud that will be, that'll be our target, to move different job roles into those certification paths and march them along the path of certification.
Okay. And then for the analysis, is that, it wasn't clear to me, is that partially done, completely done? Is there still some work yet to do in that?
The analysis we did with Gartner is completely done. So okay. we have access to those models now, and we'll use those models to prioritize our planning.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thomas.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, just to add to that a little bit, this aligns very well with the STARS project that we just talked about. We really needed to get to that discovery phase with the vendor to be able to see what applications they could consume and at what stage in the project they'd be consuming them, to be able to do the cost analysis benefit associated with moving some of those targeted applications to the cloud. So that's part of that analysis that's being talked about there in year one.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful clarification. All right. Any other questions from the committee? All right. We'll on to our next item, which is an update from the Department of Administration on the HRIS modernization project.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Again, my name is Bob Mussey. I'm an engagement manager of the Department of Administration. I'm also joined here today by members of the Department of Administration. The team will introduce themselves, then provide the committee with an informational update to the overall status of the HRIS modernization project, page AD22009. And with that, I'll turn it over to you, Alba.
Thank you, Bob. And thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Alba Valencia, and I am the Deputy Program Director for the HRIS project. With me today, I believe, is Sean Price. He is the Deputy Director for ADOA and the Program Director for HRIS. I believe we also have, if he has joined, James Kane, who is the CGI project director. He has recently joined the project, replacing Jackie Donaldson. Thank you. Can you go to the next slide? We're here this afternoon for an informational update. You probably remember the details of the project. This is an HRIS system, which is replacing the 20-year-old legacy system. We're going with the cloud-based solution, which will integrate HR benefits, payroll, and also will be on the same platform as the APHIS project, which is going live later on this year. The project status is currently yellow. We have come across a number of schedule risks, also resources. We're working to mitigate those risks right now. And the project management team has addressed all of the risks that have come up and working to get a path to green. Next slide. The overall project health card, as far as the schedule, we are trending yellow. Again, this is due to a very, very tight timeline. There was an aggressive timeline to begin with. We've also got quite a few requirements. If you'll remember, this is a project that is going through business process reengineering, and that takes a little bit of time to go through all of that. And also we're engaging the state agencies to make sure that they have representation into that those processes, the new processes. So that takes time to make sure that everyone is on the same page. Resources, we have added additional resources to augment the team. We're also working on making sure that the team is accountable for their project deadlines and that we have a method of tracking that. So there are a number of new processes that we've implemented to help with that. Again, the risks, like I mentioned, are to the schedule and the resources. We've got an issue currently where we're tracking to the tight timeline, trying to assess whether or not we have all of the right resources, if we have all of the correct tasks, and that we're managing to that current level of detail. You can go to the next slide. As far as the individual teams, the PMO team is green. However, we've got a yellow status in the functional team. Again, this is the most complex area of the project. And it really goes to show the level of just commitment that the team has to making sure that everything is exactly right. Sometimes it's painstaking, takes a lot of effort, and the team is very meticulous and dedicated to making sure that all of the processes are correct. So that takes a little bit of time. Technical and the OCM training team are trending green. No issues there with, as far as our status. This is a financial chart of where we are. Actually, I think this one's a little bit, I don't think that this is the correct one. I have one that's updated, Bob. But anyway, this shows the fiscal 23 budget and fiscal 24 with a total of 43 million. That total 43 million is correct. It's not changed from the original budget at all. However, the 23 budget and the 24 budget has been adjusted based on the actuals versus projections. That fiscal year 23 budget, if I'm not mistaken, is somewhere around 12 million. And I believe the 24 budget is right around 18. So it has been adjusted accordingly. Our total expenditures to date is 11 million. So I'll make sure that that gets updated. This is our project timeline, and it's got quite a bit of information just to demonstrate all of the different things that are happening simultaneously. You can see that we've got a lot of testing going on. You'll see there in the middle with those arrows, starting with the orange in the middle. We're right in the midst of iterative testing. So we're testing each of the configurations individually. We're doing interface testing, reporting, security, all of that testing is happening in preparation for the integrated system testing, so IST. And the team is testing, you know, each one of those configurations so that we can make sure that we've got each one tested and complete before we move into that IST testing. So it is an agile process. And then you see there in the green, we're gonna be starting UAT right around November timeframe of this year. And that's just to get ready for executing UAT. So we'll start with writing scripts, then we'll start to execute the UAT next year, early next year. With the project starting first in UAT and then the agency coming after. And they're starting right around May next year. And to prepare the agencies for that testing, that UAT testing, the OCM team is preparing training materials. They've also got some trainers that they're gonna be ramping up. So it's gonna be a train the trainer program. And that's to prepare that push out to the agencies with the information, the training information. The other thing that we're doing to get ready for agency engagement is the end-to-end demonstrations. Those are going to be critical for agencies to buy into the system. We'll be demonstrating key points or business processes of the system and making sure that the agencies are in agreement with that functionality. We've also got a system in place or a process in place for the agencies to provide some feedback. So if there's any concern or something, you know, is not to the agency standards, then we can address that through that process. And then, you know, if all goes well, we're going to be doing power user training and readiness assessments in preparation for go live in October of next year. So that's a lot of information. This is just a project burn-up chart. It's basically showing what we call the story points. So story points are an agile term. We're tracking story points. That's how we're doing all of those agile tasks. And each story point is represented of, it ties back up to a requirement. So all of these story points tie into a requirement, and that's how we're measuring the completeness of the system or the completeness of being done with a certain phase. Again, you know, the requirements, I think we started out with about 1,200 or so requirements for the HRIS system. And there are quite a few more than that story points. So I think we're somewhere in the 3,000s or 4,000s. Next slide, please. As I mentioned before, we have a number of elevated risks. So currently we have a risk that is red, and that's the one that you see there with the tight timeline, the scheduling and the resource management. We have elevated this particular risk to a red status and created an issue for it because it has been realized. So on a subsequent slide, I'll talk a little bit more about the details on that one. As far as our two yellow risks, we have benefit staffing and project resources. We've had some difficulty in hiring for the benefits area because the benefits, their area is so specialized and so specific to the state, it's sometimes difficult to hire, you know, qualified staff for that area. So we've had to do some hiring within the department itself, and where we have resources that maybe a lower level resources that we promoted to a higher level, and then try to hire the entry level positions. So that's what's going on right now. That takes a little bit of time to ramp those resources up. And then we are hiring for a benefits lead. And because that position, again, is so specialized and requires a special set of skills, it's been difficult to be able to hire that person. The second one there, the risk, project resources with AFIS and HRIS. We are coming into a little bit of a dilemma with project resources that are dedicated to both AFIS and HRIS, especially with the project accounting area, business area. So those resources, John Valentine, Joanna Greenway, they are on the AFIS team. That's their primary area, but they're also subject matter experts in payroll accounting. So we're having to borrow those resources, and they are a little bit stretched thin. Okay, you can go to the next one. So this is the elevated issue I was talking about. Again, because it's realized, because we are a little bit behind schedule, we have elevated this to an issue. We do have a mitigation plan where we're attacking this from different perspectives, making sure that we've got all areas of this addressed, And so we've identified a number of resources that need to be augmented. We've also, which is there with the people plan as referenced. We've also made sure that we've got the appropriate amount of planning ahead of each sprint, that we have the appropriate number of details in each of those individual tasks, and that we're assigning a level of effort. And that's taken some time because the team is relatively new to the Agile methodology. So we've worked through those items and again, addressed it from different points of view. So this one, we've got a path to green, but it's going to take a little time to implement this mitigation plan. Any questions from the committee or Mr. Chairman?
I don't know what you think is so funny, Ryan, but okay.
Wrong emoji, hey. Apologies.
Yeah, come over. I mean, if you think it's funny, come on over anytime. And
Elba, I can kick off the questions. Elba, what is the current overall status of the project in terms of health?
It is yellow right now.
For what you presented, obviously there's also a lot of red involved. What is keeping it right now in a status of yellow based on what you just presented?
That's a good question. So right now we're tracking it yellow because only one particular area is in jeopardy, and that's the functional area. The technical, the OCM team, those are both green. The PMO is green. So we feel like the to make the whole project yellow would be premature at this point. However, you know, in the future, if we see more areas falling behind, then we would upgrade that to a red.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Byers.
Elba, I think you said that the go live date is October 24th.
Yes.
Is there any date where it has to go live? Is there any event or something? I mean, October is a strange time, in the middle of our fiscal year. Is there any event that where you really have to have it live?
There is an impact if we do not. However, I believe that impact has to do with the system itself, with the APHIS. There is an impact, and I'll have to get some more information on exactly what that is, but I believe it's with the version of the system that APHIS is on right now and what they're upgrading to this year. And in terms of what we need to upgrade to or what we need to implement by next year. So there is some overlap there with the systems being on the same platform.
Well, maybe at a future update, you could get that because
absolutely, yeah.
I suspect from what I'm seeing here, you're not going to be on time. But the issue to me is there something where it becomes really critical? You know, we can't do payroll or sometimes you got to update tax tables or something. So I'd like to know where that date is, or, you know, if there is one where if you miss that, we've got bigger problems.
Yeah, absolutely. We can provide that information.
Rebecca.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Elba. And to Mr. Byers' question, I was wondering if employees would be using it next October, though, for open enrollment.
That's a good question. More to come on that. Let me get back to you on the next update. Open enrollment has been one of those things that we've identified as a potential risk because it happens right at the same time that the go live happens. So open enrollment is in the October timeframe. There is a concern there that is listed as a risk in our project documents. So we need to address that and find out if we're going to be performing open enrollment in the current system or in the new system. So let me get some more information on that, Rebecca, and I'll get back to you.
All right. Any other questions from the committee? All right, Alba, thank you for that update. That concludes our agenda for today. I want to thank all the committee members for the extra time you've dedicated. We had some really important items that were reviewed today. You all worked very hard. I appreciate it. Our next meeting is July 19th. And with that, I will call our meeting to a close.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd stop the presenting. Oh, you did. All right, let's turn off the streaming and recording.